Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Josh Brown, you know that thing that died last year?
Google Stadia?
Yeah, it's died again, mate.
How can something die twice?
I don't know. It's like a James Bond-style approach to life. But it's found some way of dying twice. Now, the Google Stadia has been shut down entirely, or will be as of January 18th next year. However, like I said, I feel like this happened last year. But in terms of the overall press announcements doing the rounds that Google have put out, the system, the service, I guess we're going to call it?
Yeah.
A platform. Yes, it had some hardware, there was a controller and everything. It's being fully shut down, and Google are issuing refunds not only for your game libraries but if you bought the controllers, which I guess you would need as well, but hardware refunds.
They
are just backpedaling that much, which we should initially talk about. There's more to the overall scale of just how much they're going, no, we're moving away from every single part of this. And what do you think of them giving you your money back?
Dude, right. I got a text from Scott Telford while I was out last night about Google Stadia shutting down
on the face,
and I had such a kind of just non-emotional shrug to that news. When we came in this morning and, you know, you actually taught me more about the story, I couldn't believe how insane it was. When you said, you know, that they were giving out refunds for the controller for games for add-ons to everyone who owns a Stadia, I thought, there is no way that could be true. Something cannot fail so much that you have to refund everyone who bought it like 4 or 5 years after the fact. But yes, looking into it, that is happening. And that's just nuts, right? I can't remember anything like this ever happening in the gaming sphere. And it's only because it's Google who has all the money in the world and they can just do that and not really even take a hit. I mean, just look at how many other projects and weird ideas Google has canned over the years. Like, imagine any other publisher trying this and then just having to give up and give everyone refunds because it just didn't work and nobody cared.
We will talk about the amount of money they have just thrown around. And one interesting wrinkle in regards to the refunds is that refunds will be offered. So it seems more like you're going to have to go out there and file something to get access to your money or whatever. But they have said that refunds will be offered to all customers, consumers, whatever. The interesting side of this, to quickly dovetail off into digital library storefronts, is that if you have a digital library, unless you have a crossplay system, which obviously is per game, Cyberpunk just got crossplay, so you might want to get your saves across to something else while you can. You've got another few months. Unless your specific title has a crossplay feature, then your game library just goes away in January.
Yes.
The last 2.5 years of investing money and titles or whatever, that stuff just goes away. It's like the other side of the coin to an entirely digital system.
And this is what I want to kind of talk about. Sorry if I'm jumping forward.
Jump in, my friend.
I can see your notes here and I'm scared that I'm ruining the whole flow of this video. But yes, like, the idea of your digital storefront suddenly going is obviously a real issue right now, considering just how many games are sold digitally, not on the Stadia alone, but across PlayStation, across Microsoft, across Nintendo. Like, that number increases every year to the point where now digital sales, you know, completely outweigh physical sales.
80% of all sales
right now? It's totally right. And like, the idea of just, you know, these publishers being able to pull the plug on these servers and then having your whole game library have to be refunded like this. Like, that is, I don't want to be like, you know, cynical about it, but that's like a kind of a scary future.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, each one of these libraries, you're having faith in the company behind it. And I would like to say that in regards to Google Stadia, as much as I use Google every day, I don't feel like like anyone had any faith in Stadia, even when they first showed it off. I remember all the conversations around, you know, the idea that the footage was being fake, whether it was or not, the idea that streaming is never going to be as go-to and as workable as various companies want it to be. And we'll go and come back around and we'll talk about the reality of streaming overall in gaming, because now we do have offerings from Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony to varying different degrees. But in terms of Google and the amount of money that they were throwing around, Jason Schreier tweeted out, and he did report this last year when he first put it together for Bloomberg, that Google were paying various developers tens of millions of dollars per game just to get, and the examples given are Red Dead Redemption 2 and the Assassin's Creed games on Stadia. I have to imagine that's the same case for Cyberpunk. And they did start some Google first party stuff to try and do Google Stadia exclusive games, but they were all shut down in February 2021. And being that the thing was only announced in 2019, what remote momentum did you try and instill here?
That was when the writing was on the wall. And I even recall us doing a news video at the time when those first party studios were shut down.
Sounds like
because that. After that happened, it was just a question of why would anyone buy a Google Stadia? Because you're getting these third party games, but you know, the thing that sells consoles historically has been the exclusives, right? People go to Xbox for Halo and Gears, people go to Sony for Horizon, God of War, people go to Nintendo, obviously Mario, Zelda, all of that stuff. And if the Stadia was just kind of, you know, on life support essentially on these third parties, that was never going to work. In a way, I'm kind of surprised that it stuck out as long as it did for over a year. But yeah, it kind of felt like, as we said at the beginning, that the writing was on the wall all the way through. And like you said about those kind of like $10 million deals or whatever, I wish, this is my dream, I want to own a company eventually that is has so much money where I can just spaff $10 million on like a game just for my service, and then ultimately have to refund a lot of that money to the
just
people
carry on.
Who bought it, and then just carry on and scale like nothing ever happened. Like, that's the dream.
Can I remember when Google Glass was the next big thing, when they were going to be sort of like charging us for our eyeball real estate, and then now it's at Google Stadia, which is obviously just joining Google Glass on the same website as killedbygoogle.com, an ever increasing list of stuff. But yeah, it's worth mentioning that in regards to the exclusive, yes, they shut down in February. Nothing else was mentioned in regards to making sure that you go to Google Stadia for a specific thing. I do want to cover the positives very quickly, because I think that
there are positives.
The idea of it is worth talking about in terms of what they were going for. It's not something I personally invested in, but the idea was that you would just have some sort of connection to a game, and you would click a button, whether it was in a YouTube trailer or you just fancy playing a game or whatever, and something would load as fast as YouTube does. That was their whole selling point. And the idea was that you wouldn't have to worry about buying specific consoles or worry about hardware specs, because Google Stadia would auto upscale everything in the back end all the time, keep on top of the latest industry trends, and all you're paying for is the live stream, which, if it works, I don't even know if the average person is interested in that. I don't know how much they want to own a console, you know, or they believe in the idea of streaming games. I've not had a single, hardly any positive experience of streaming games. There's always a resolution problem or a lag dip, responsiveness, etc. But do you think the idea of streaming in that regard is ever going to be anything that we're actually going to...
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What? I think some of the worst executed ideas in gaming history don't sound that bad on paper, and right. In fact sometimes sound good. Like that reality that Google was trying to achieve there.
Farming Sims.
Is a...
I love them.
What's the Power Wash Sim?
Power Wash Simulator.
I want to play that all the time. That's on a
Harvest Cellar is great as well. You do a bit of that in Harvest Cellar.
You do a little bit of this.
One
till at a time.
Plus 10.
What was I talking about? I can't remember now. Oh yeah, the idea on paper. Yes, was sound, and if that could have been executed, you know, flawlessly, like you said, that would have been great. But yeah, again, you know, where streaming is right now, you know, it's functional and it's good. I used to play a lot of PS Now when that service was up and running, and now it's being merged into the PlayStation Plus service, and I still use that to play PlayStation 3 games, and it works for me. You know, I have a fun time, but every single time I'm playing one of those games, be it, you know, God of War, be it Metal Gear Solid 4, you're hyper aware that you're not getting the best version of that game. You're getting a version of that game, and I'm pleased I can't access those titles, but you can tell, like, there's a little bit of lag, the resolution isn't as good as it should be. Sometimes even, like, the colours don't come through as crisp as you would want them to.
Yeah, that's always the thing. That's always been my case with streaming. I pulled back when I said before I've not had a single positive experience, because I did play some Halo on my phone using Xbox's service, and that worked very well in terms of responsiveness. However, the resolution was pretty bad, and it did have to load in terms of filling out the detail, let's say. But I could hit a button and shoot a dude fairly responsively, which I can't do that much on PlayStation, and I certainly can't do on Nintendo's cloud stuff, which I think is the worst on the market if we're going to just rank all three of them. Back to Google stuff though, apparently the UI designers had only just completed the latest version of how you would even interact with Stadia, and many of them were on Twitter saying they just found out, along with the rest of us, that the entire service is being shut down. So even wings of Google didn't even know this was happening until it was put through, and then, you know, taken alongside all the refunds and the "oh dear god it's on fire, let's just move away" stuff.
Yes.
It feels like some mandate was passed across Google to just run the F away from it.
This is kind of where, you know, it gets more serious, because I will fully admit that I've found a lot of this news piss funny so far. The idea of a big company having to issue all of these refunds and good something failing that, you know, we all knew would fail to begin with.
Yes.
But there is a real human cost, and it hasn't obviously been communicated in the way it should have been, like you said, with, you know, these people who were still working on Stadia suddenly finding out with the rest of us that, you know, it's shutting down, and what the hell do they do next? Like, I hate it when any kind of company does that, where they just drop these bombshells and, you know, the employees are finding out at the same time as the other people that something is shutting down. And, like, that's kind of where you think, man, this was mismanaged top to bottom, not just from a creative and execution standpoint, but from the people who are working on these games. And that kind of even goes to like the way that games were initially conceived for the platform as well. You know, I know there was the story doing the rounds a little while ago about Hideo Kojima pitching a Google Stadia horror game that didn't go through. And it's like, man, some of these kind of opportunities feel like open goals that just weren't pursued for whatever reason.
I don't know if they just didn't think they had enough people invested, or maybe Kojima was like, actually, this isn't worth it, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kojima was one of the only people that was, you know, doing the rounds in terms of a headline, something that leaked, or a rumor, or whatever, a conversation around the idea of a Hideo Kojima Stadia exclusive game that would have actually turned heads. I don't feel like Stadia turned heads. I feel like at the very most, we sort of raised our eyebrows and went, okay, sure, I don't need this, but okay. But yeah, overall, streaming just, I don't feel like, has landed. And I feel like Stadia as well didn't really time their marketing approach very well. Like, you know, we had the whole PlayStation approach with Gaikai, we've had Xbox do their xCloud stuff. And then Nintendo's cloud approach has kind of just been like a sure, why not thing for certain titles, like Hitman and the Resident Evils.
Yes.
But again, they don't play very well. It's also interesting, just as a general gaming history thing, saying that VP or the executive that's been in control of this stuff, Phil Harrison, has now gone from PlayStation, where he was in, he brought in a lot of the Gaikai stuff, then headed up Xbox One during the worst part of Xbox's history, and then has now turned Google Stadia stuff as well. So that dude could do with a break.
I feel like that guy could write a really interesting book.
Yes.
Like you said, you know, being involved in like the worst and eras of some of these major companies, mm-hmm. like that is fascinating. But yeah, we kind of see that a lot where, you know, like an executive with a kind of not great creative track record just kind of like goes from one major project to the other, and then they kind of don't succeed as they should, and then, you know, people are here like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next.
Yeah,
where
I think
are we
going to
go next?
In terms of the ambitious side of it, like that, like again, it's that whole idea that streaming is just the next thing we're going towards, and whether or not that's true is always going to be down in the comments and always up to the general consensus. I think it maybe eventually is,
yeah,
but it needs to be absolutely flawless. It needs to feel like you click a button and it does load as quick as a YouTube video. And thinking back to the original Stadia stuff in 2019 when they mentioned it, some of the integrations that they were going to have were based around trailers, or based around if you were stuck in a game, you could, like, you know, go between like the video of the tutorial or whatever you're looking at and then back into your game save and all that stuff. I don't feel like that level of infrastructure or the software side of it was ever past the concept stage, because we never saw any of that in reality. We just saw it in that initial reveal and they never went back to it again. I don't know whether that level of integration is also something that you could plug streaming into.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think streaming does have like a lot of great like potential possibilities, you know, and I think that a lot of the companies that are using it right now are smart to use it as a kind of supplementary feature, whereas Stadia obviously was built entirely around the concept. And like you said, maybe it was just a little bit too soon. You know, it kind of reminds me of the original version of the Xbox One, which was gunning for an all digital future, and yes, it got a lot of the details wrong, but they were ultimately right that that's the way that the market was trending. And maybe if that released a few years later, maybe it would have been better appreciated than it was at the time, when people were still holding on to physical media way more than they are in 2022.
That's what I was, that's what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about ambition. It's just, you don't know something's not going to work until it doesn't work. But you've got to try those things. In Xbox's case, they fell flat on their face trying to do all the DRM stuff back in 2013. But like we said before, the overall amount of people buying games is digital. It's about 80% of all purchases. And they nigh on got it right, just their timing was wrong.
Yeah.
If Google Stadia came out now and they looked at the competition, they looked at Gaikai streaming, well, what Sony's doing now, they looked at the Xbox and Nintendo stuff, maybe they could have framed an argument for streaming that would work better. It would always come back to the managing of it, and I still think you would need the exclusives. I don't think you can. I remember when it launched and it was like, you can play Destiny. And it's like, okay, cool. Destiny's great, but I'm not going to get a whole new thing just for that.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to play a 4K Assassin's Creed? It's like, yeah, I'll just play it on my PlayStation 5 in a few years' time.
Yes, and also that'll maintain the resolution of being 4K. It's not going to be fluctuating around, which that's my main thing, is that I don't trust the resolutions to stay top end, whereas a downloaded game will hopefully stick a frame rate.
Well, I think that even Sony and Microsoft, before we wrap up now, have learned that as well. You know, Sony initially with PlayStation Now was all in on streaming, and then it kind of realized that that wasn't going to sustain that model, so then it introduced, you know, the ability to download PlayStation 4 games and became this hybrid thing where you could stream some stuff, you could download other stuff, and that was more successful. And I just think that, you know, streaming right now can be great if it's supplementing something else. But if you are building, you know, your entire company around the idea of a streaming service, and most importantly, you have aspirations of being a top publisher and, you know, a top contender in the video game world with those aspirations, the tech just ain't there right now.
It's just not. I think they gave it, I was going to say, their best shot. They gave it a shot.
They certainly did.
Something was fired, but it's very much on the floor by now. But let us know what you think down in the comments below of Google Stadia. Were you bothered? Did you buy it? Are you gutted that all your games are going away January 18th? For now, Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean, Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Never live twice.
You really sounded like Anthony Fantano there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's an honor.
Bye-bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.